Are you a wise woman over 55 who wants to take control of how your body and brain age? Because you want to keep doing what you love with those you love? No Nonsense Aging is about understanding that while we don't control the fact that we'll age, we do have control over the way we age. I'm your host, Penelope Lane, and in this podcast, we'll delve into the combined power of exercise, cognitive training, mindfulness, and self-compassion so that you can actively shape your aging journey and enjoy a life that exudes vitality, strength, confidence, and calm. Are you a woman who knows the value of self-care and self-confidence? A woman who's got good intentions to work at enhancing these for yourself? Maybe you've tried to get more confident and to look after yourself, but it seems like it's too hard, it takes up too much time, the demands of others take over, it takes too long, or it doesn't work, and more often than not, you actually end up feeling worse, as if you failed at this endeavor too. Well, if this resonates with you in any way and you're interested in feeling more and more confident in your own skin as you get older, this episode will be of value to you. We must look after ourselves. We need to balance our needs with those of others. Self-care is not being selfish. It's essential for our health and for our well-being. As I'm a fitness trainer and a clinical psychologist, I agree that we do need to look after ourselves and balance our needs with other demands. I'm dedicated to helping women over 55 get fit, strong, confident, healthy, happy, and making aging an exciting adventure. But I've found myself feeling annoyed sometimes when I see what is usually offered as a way of embracing self-care and boosting confidence. A list of things that we can do to improve our self-esteem and confidence. I'm sure you know the kind of thing I mean. 5 tips to boost your self-esteem. 10 powerful strategies to empower you to balance your needs with those of others. What I've found, though, is that while a handful of women find value in these tips and strategies, putting them into practice and reaping the rewards, which is fantastic, most women don't, and they end up feeling even worse about themselves. So why don't these approaches work? Why is it so hard for women, especially those of us over 55, to look after ourselves without feeling so bloody guilty? Well, the obvious answer is that we grew up at a time when it wasn't okay to put our needs first. Our mothers were the burnt chop 50s maternal generation. And if you haven't heard of the burnt chop phenomenon, that's where the mum of the household would serve herself the burnt chop at dinner rather than to one of her beloved family members. And she seemed to do it willingly and compassionately. But deep down, however, she was seething with anger because no one offered to swap their yummy chop with her burnt one. And on those rare occasions that someone did offer it, it was not heartfelt or indeed genuine, and she probably would have insisted that they eat their nice one. She doesn't mind the burnt one. In case you're wondering what a chop is, as that might be an Australian thing, it's a piece of cow, I think. So with this as a poignant backdrop, it's easy to see why those of us women over 55 find looking after ourselves so fraught with issues. But in truth, it's even more unsettling than that. When it comes to the process of enhancing our self-confidence and doing self-care, it's really the ultimate catch-22. Now, that's where you can't do one thing until you do another thing. So in essence, you can't start the work or expend the energy required to look after yourself well until you value yourself enough to do that work, to expend that energy or spend the money that's required often for most self-care delights like massages and healing candles. Now, at the risk of bamboozling you, this is one of the things I muse about that I feel compelled to share. So what can you do about this if you are in fact one of those wonderful women that I'm talking about here? A woman who knows the value of self-care and self-confidence, a woman who has good intentions to work at enhancing these for herself, who gets the information required, which is easy to do as the internet is awash with tips and strategies, one who starts well, which is to be acknowledged and celebrated, but then falters and ultimately gives up because it's too hard, it takes up too much time, the demands of others take over, it takes too long, or it doesn't work, and more often than not, you end up feeling worse as you failed at another endeavor. The answer is to basically reframe or rethink what self-care is, what self-confidence is, and then take it from there, to challenge and morph your perception of looking after yourself so that it's not something that you should do for your health and well-being, that it's not something that is easily fixed by adopting some quick fixes, some esoteric reflections and false promises. Instead, to morph your relationship with self-care and self-confidence so that you simply feel like working on it because it is good common sense, and your future and especially the quality of your relationships that you have with others relies on you embracing self-care and having that robust self-confidence. But not only that, this new approach must be rooted in good research. It needs to be scientific. There must be proof that it works, that it's worthwhile, and that it will produce the results so many women are searching for because they've had enough of feeling tired, depleted, lonely, and feeling inadequate. So what is this approach that will change how you relate to yourself for the better? And equally importantly, for the betterment of your relationships with others. It's called self-compassion. The practice of developing good, strong, robust, researched, and doable self-compassion. Now, thanks to the work of pioneers in the world of self-compassion like Christian Neff, Christopher Germer, and Paul Gilbert, we have at our disposal an effective and an enjoyable approach that makes good common sense, one that doesn't involve having to value yourself enough to do the work or expend the energy required to look after yourself well. One that challenges and morphs your perception of looking after yourself, and one that has the power to change the relationships that you have with others. So how does this practice of self-compassion do all of that? For the rest of this time together today, I'd like to explore the answer to this crucial and life-changing question. Oh, and in case you're wondering, yes, I practice self-compassion every day and it's changed my life. I took it up at a time when I was feeling really low, a time when I hated myself really, and I took it up because someone I trusted said, give this self-compassion thing a go. It's based on good common sense, it's easy to do, and it works. It changes how you relate to yourself. And in that, you change how you relate to others. And when you adopt a self-compassionate relationship with yourself, the self-care activities like massages, bath oils, and candles will be more helpful and even more enjoyable once you've embraced the practice of self-compassion. Because you need to feel okay with yourself and about yourself before these things will be of any lasting benefit. So, to the wonder of self-compassion. Self-compassion is like treating yourself well in a supportive and a nurturing way, someone deserving of care and support. When you're self-compassionate, you are acknowledging that you are perfectly okay just the way you are, doing your absolute best at this moment. It's being kinder, more supportive, more understanding towards yourself, to motivate yourself with support and encouragement rather than self-criticism. But maybe you're thinking, won't that make me selfish, uncaring of others, and lazy? Won't that make me feel sorry for myself, make me weak? Well, it turns out that developing kindness to ourselves makes us believe that we can cope with difficult stuff and that we are okay just as we are. So an inner strength develops via the cultivation of resilience. Self-compassion is one of the most powerful sources of coping and resilience available to us. Self-compassion helps sustain our confidence, and it's an essential resource for establishing personal motivation. And most importantly, in terms of our relationships with others, being kind and nurturing to ourselves fills our emotional cup up to the brim, and that puts us in a much better position to focus on and to help others. So let me ask you a question. How can you be compassionate towards others without first having a ready store of self-compassion inside of you? A build-up of positive, supportive, understanding energy? Well, you can't. Not really, and you certainly wouldn't be able to sustain caring for others without a reservoir of self-compassionate energy to draw upon. When you embrace self-compassion, taking care of your physical, cognitive, and emotional health becomes almost second nature. And it's a stark contrast to self-criticism, where you're a harsh judge of yourself, wielding unkind words and generally giving yourself a hard time, subjecting yourself to unnecessary stress. In fact, many of us are even harsher and more critical of ourselves than we would ever be towards someone that we particularly don't like. A quote from Christian Neff: if you treat your friends in the same way you treat yourself, you would have no friends. This self-criticism takes a toll on our emotional, cognitive, and also our physical health. And that's why I include self-compassion as an essential part of my approach to nurturing body and brain health. Along with mindfulness, which I talked about in my last episode, self-compassion is essential when it comes to dissolving self-criticism and replacing it with self-kindness and understanding. Embracing self-compassion, it empowers you to adopt and stick with healthy habits. And it means forgiving yourself when you falter and not being overly critical. Self-compassion has the power to boost your happiness and overall life satisfaction. And it fosters a healthier body image and has even been linked to improved physical health and a stronger immune system. The benefits of self-compassion extend far and wide, including increased self-confidence, motivation, and also resilience. It helps you cope better with the stresses in your life, and it helps you take appropriate responsibility for your actions and life changes. It also leads to more nurturing and loving personal relationships. So with all of this in mind, how do we learn to be self-compassionate? Well, thankfully, due to the diligent work of people like Christian Neff and Christopher Germer, who I mentioned before, you can learn to be self-compassionate in an easy-to-follow and doable way. And it involves three stages. And the first one is mindfulness, acknowledging the present moment, which we talked about in episode 5. Self-kindness, and that's where you learn to talk to yourself in an honest, helpful way rather than being self-critical. And common humanity, the third one, and that's the understanding of our shared humanity. What it means to be a person living in this world of ours. This is the declaration that difficulties in life are due to the nature of being a human being and not about any personal inadequacies. And as you move through each of these stages, the self-compassionate momentum that's created, well, it develops and it grows and it stabilizes you in a safe and a supportive and self-appreciative place. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, that sounds great, but aren't I faced with the same dilemma that you spoke about at the start? Don't I need to value myself more before I embark on this journey of self-compassion? Well, the answer is yes and no. Yes, in that it's easier if you have a modicum of self-belief that you are worth it, worth the effort to become self-compassionate. And no, in that the journey of self-compassion is very different to the usual quick fixes that are suggested. Those that are pleasant and nurturing, but that don't produce long-term changes in how you feel about yourself and how you actually treat yourself. When you embark on your self-compassion journey, you'll experience right from the get-go many valuable reflections, practices, and techniques that dispel negative self-beliefs, and they actually propel you forward, reaping the benefits of self-compassion in the now and well into your future. As a way of planting the seeds of self-compassion to whet your appetite to explore the powerful world of self-compassion training, I'd like to share the central question that evokes self-compassion in the moment. In a moment of struggle, stress, or unease, you ask yourself the question, what do I need right now? What do I need to help me cope in this situation that I can provide for myself that is within my control? So it might be some kind words, a supportive touch, which is a practice, and you have a link to that in the show notes, or removing yourself from the situation, any number of things. So what this question does is it diffuses the immediate emotional experience of the challenge, of the stress. It allows you to pause, to step back from the situation, and reflect on what you have control over that will ease the discomfort or the pain. There are an array of life-changing practices in the self-compassion approach. One of my favourites is the supportive touch practice that I mentioned before, and that's where you use the soothing sense of touch to evoke kindness and support and understanding to yourself. And there's a link in the show notes that I mentioned to an audio of this supportive touch practice that I've prepared for you. As you'll know by now, self-compassion features significantly in my Fit and Fabulous program. And the reason that I have self-compassion in my program, my four-pillar Fit and Fabulous program, is that interestingly, self-compassion enhances the outcomes that you can get from exercise, from cognitive training, and mindfulness practices. When you approach these activities with self-kindness rather than self-criticism, your engagement and your performance, your outcomes, soar. To achieve the best health results by controlling how you age, it's essential to combine exercise with targeted brain exercises and mindfulness. And when you introduce self-compassion into this mix, you equip yourself with the essential ingredients to reduce the risk of physical and cognitive decline. You minimize the chance of injury. You increase your energy and motivation for exercise and derive more enjoyment from it. And you feel pretty damn great about yourself just the way you are. And this in turn positively impacts your quality and also your quantity of life. Thank you so much for listening. I want to leave you with a powerful reminder that aging doesn't have to be a daunting journey. It can be a path filled with discovery, growth, and joy. Are you ready to embrace this journey with confidence, strength, and vitality? I warmly invite you to join my 12-week Fit and Fabulous program. This program isn't just about physical health. It's a holistic approach to nurturing your mind, body, and emotional well-being, designed to empower you to lead a life brimming with hope, vitality, and joy. To find out more, check the link in the show notes. Let's embark on this beautiful journey together.